Greetings and salutations, everyone. I am AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. It's been going strong for over 45 years, and every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios and chat with each other, learn from each other, teach each other, and hopefully entertain and amuse each other. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will offer you visual links. Okay, if you would like to reach me via email, one of my many email addresses is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. If you would like to reach Paul, WS2N, and ask him a space or NASA-related story, take a look at it and comment, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We also, every week, offer a link page of interesting articles. We have a particularly interesting article at the top of it, and you can get to it by typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com. We offer an audio stream on the internet for people who do not have great radio contact with us. So if you have a friend who would like to listen in, tell them to type into their browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that will give you the audio stream of the Technical Net. When I first set it up, I was only intending to stream during the Technical Net, but some people asked me to keep it live the rest of the week, and so it, for the most part, unless we're doing some kind of work on the computer, it's available again. You just have to type into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll get you there. Also, like to remind people that Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's at amateurradio.tv, and it has archives of the Limark Technical Net that go as far back as September of 2006. So avail yourself of the wisdom of people who've either moved away from the area or, unfortunately, become silent keys over the years. There's still a lot of excellent wisdom available on those audio recordings. Let me drop for a second. Okay, it's a generic, regular technical net. We have a couple of interesting stories about artificial intelligence, as we tend to. And we'll ask people if they have any comments or have any other things to say about AI, although you'll have an opportunity to cover it towards the end of the technical net later on. But I bunch it together at the beginning because there's always news about AI. Then we will go to the main segment of questions, comments, and topics. I'll ask people to hit the push to talk and put their name on the list. Give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or science and technology. I would prefer amateur radio up front, but we'll accept any question. And I would prefer simple relatively short questions or comments at the beginning, and if you have a presentation for us, leave it for the end of the list, because, you know, if someone doesn't really want to sit around waiting an hour and a half to ask a two-minute question and, you know, hear about the origin of the universe in 45 minutes. So please try and do that. That should take us approximately to 10:15. Paul, WS2N, will join us for the SpaceNet report, and that should take us approximately to 11 o'clock, and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan. If my shack doesn't malfunction, I don't malfunction, and the repeater doesn't malfunction, and I don't get kicked off of All-Star too many times. Usually it's one or two times every Sunday night, so if you lose me, just hold still for a little while. I'll reboot a couple applications and try and get back as soon as possible. So that's the plan. So let me drop it. I'll give you my bunch of little stories about artificial intelligence in the news this past week. Okay, Anthropic apparently is raising yet another $20 billion in investment money because they're blowing through all this money buying all kinds of things for themselves, mostly, I guess, chips and access to data centers. Claude apparently is partnering with PayPal to launch an AI literacy program. There are yet more AI agents that have been introduced, apparently, in this modern economy. If you want to make a lot of money, just announce you have an AI agent. You probably don't even need to have one, and they'll throw money at you. Of course, Musk and Sam Altman are still in the news. They're still in court. I think the decision is going to come down next week, so it's interesting to see how that works out. Some people reporting on this, it makes it sound as though both sides will be found guilty. I don't know. These guys just don't know how to make friends outside of the tech world. So I don't think either of them are thought of well in the court, but we'll see what the decision is. Let's see. Google DeepMind is working on an AI-powered mouse pointer so that you will not actually have to use your hand and your arm to move your cursor to control things. I guess they'll tie it in to some AI aspect of Google so that the AI itself can maneuver your mouse. For those people who don't want to go to the extra exercise of moving a mouse around. There's one very good article, by the way, on my link page. It's called AI Bonnie and Clyde. It's an article based on a study where, once again, some scientists put a bunch of agents together in a virtual reality and set them loose on each other, and they became incredibly antisocial. It's a good read. I'm not 100% sure how legit it is. A lot of times what happens is people kind of plant ideas within the prompts, and so they make it worse on purpose so that they could get a good paper or publicity or something like that. So I don't know if it's legit, but it certainly is a good read. So go over to roy.acgs.com, and at the very top of my link page is the article, I think from The Guardian, about Bonnie and Clyde, AI Bonnie and Clyde. So that's, I find that interesting. And one other little short detail. I mentioned it a little bit last week, but I thought I would tell you a little bit more. Shark Tank's, the guy who gave him his own name, Mr. Wonderful. If you got to call yourself Mr. Wonderful, you can imagine what you really are. Anyway, I think his name is Kevin O'Leary. He's a Canadian, and I don't know. He does a lot of business that seems a little bit not legit, per se, or a lot of things that fall through. So I'm not quite sure what to make of it. A lot of them are being shut down. Let me see. Did I fall out? Anyway, it seems that I'm there. I might have timed out the repeater. I'll find out soon enough. If I missed anything, I'll repeat it to you, for you people. But nevertheless, if anyone has any comments, please hit that push to talk and tell me.
Did not, Tom. Did not. Good evening, W.S. Duane.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for the information as well. I'm glad I didn't. Sometimes I talk a little too much, especially this was a long list of little IA stories. So having said my piece, if anyone has any comments about any of the things that I mentioned in this segment, feel free to hit the push to talk and comment back. Okay, I assume either people are tired of AI or nothing that I mentioned piqued anyone's interest. Once again, if later on in the technical net someone has an AI-related question or comment, we often read at AI later on in the technical net. So we will see what the future holds. Let us move on, though, to our main segment tonight, questions, comments, and topics. Anyone has any of those things, once again, try and make the short ones the first few and leave the long presentations at the tail of the list. So with that in mind, hit those push-to-talks and give me your information so I can put you on my list for tonight.
Roy, WS2N.
Yes, Paul?
Three stories. Let's put it in. How he blames women from Houston. He basically was saying, oh, they're behind it. And the two women got on. I saw it on one of the clips. And they're sitting there saying, oh, could you believe this guy's going after us? Two innocent young women. He called out their names, and apparently he's got everything all fouled up with this accusing the wrong people, for the wrong, for whatever he's talking about with the data center. Back to you.
Yeah, he's doing the old standby. You blame the Chinese. It's all a plot against the United States from the Chinese, and those young women who just don't want their entire state to be collapsed in on itself. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being given Chinese money or some such. I mean, if you've read any of the details on this disastrous data center, it's going to require 10 gigawatts of power. Utah, in its entirety presently, I think only has something like 4 or 5 gigawatts of power for the whole state. They have a terrible water level because it's a desert, Utah. So the water that they need to cool off the data centers isn't available. Don't know where they're going to get the water from. I don't know where they're going to get the electricity because there isn't that much electricity. So you got to build power places all over the place. And the price of electricity is going to go up like it has elsewhere. There's already other stories in the United States where an electrical power company advised, I think, something like 50,000 customers that they were going to cut them off, so they better find another source of utility electrical power because they had to give their output to a data center that was planned in the future. So people are really growing more and more upset, and it doesn't help when people check to see who owns deeds in that area of Utah. And there's a lot of politicians who will go make millions if this plan goes through. So there's a lot of fishy stuff going on. So this is going to be a mess. But the entire field of data centers is going to be a terrible mess. And I think the overwhelming majority of planned data centers will never see its existence. It's not going to be like the dot-com where dark fiber will just sit there and rent for, 5-10 years and slowly be repurposed to something with value. All these data centers will have chips that will basically be worthless in anything more than 5-6 years. And it takes about 3 years to build them, if there's no delays, so probably by the time the ones that do get built will be out of date. So it's going to be a mess. But then, you know, I don't want to color anyone's opinion. I'm sure among half of you, I'm a cynic about artificial intelligence, and the others think that I'm too gung-ho and believe this stuff. So anyway, any other comments? By the way, Wesley, I recognize you. I will put you on the list. Anyone else want to go on the list or have any other comments about artificial intelligence?
KF2Z01.
Kilowatt 2, November Echo.
Yes, Sam, you have a question tonight?
You just saw me on the list and I'm listening, all right? Good to hear your voice, Roy.
Okay, very good. Brian, you have a question tonight?
I'll think of something.
Whiskey 2, Bravo Zulu.
Okay, Rich, you have a question tonight?
Yes, I do.
Okie dokes, I have Rich. I'm not sure, Sam. Do you have a question tonight, or were you just checking in?
I have a question.
Okay, very good. So we have Rich, we have Sam, we have Brian, and we have Wesley. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
Name is Jeremy, KE2HQF.
Okay, Jeremy, I will put you on the list. Anyone else want to go on the list for tonight? Okay, that was 100% noise, so I have no idea who you are, unfortunately, or what you said. If you could maneuver something, if you could move your whip antenna closer to the window, if you can raise the power output of your transmitter, or if you could come on Echolink or All-Star and use an alternative method of reaching the repeater, I would appreciate it. But right now, it's 100% noise. Sorry, still noise, 100%. Not a single syllable could I discern. Well, let's begin, and if the gentleman who's not quite getting into the repeater tries again later on, we'll try and figure out what you're saying. And like I said, your choices are moving the antenna if it's movable, raising the output if it's raisable, and switching to an alternative method like Echolink, Echo available on computers, on cell phones, and the club maintains a Echolink node, so that shouldn't be a problem. Just a matter of getting a password and setting it up, and then you won't have to worry about not being picked up by the leader. Anyway, let's go to the list that we have, work our way down. Rich, you're first. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, there are two things. One's a question and one's a little story. I guess it's AI related, but I really feel abused by Amazon. What happened was about 6-7 months ago, I bought some earbuds, and last week they started giving me some trouble, and I Googled it all over the place, couldn't find out what the trouble was, so I figured my last resort was to call the company who made the earbuds, and they didn't answer. It was like 6 o'clock in the evening, and they didn't answer. Anyway, the next day I get an email from Amazon saying that they're aware that I contacted the company that I bought the earbuds from. I forgot why they said they contacted me, why Amazon said they contacted me, but I don't need anybody monitoring who I'm calling. That really, really was an affront to me. I don't know if anybody else have a similar experience with Amazon.
Comment?
Well, personally, I haven't, but I throw it out to the general listening public. Has any of you gotten notified from Amazon when you tried to contact the original marketer of a product that you bought through Amazon?
Comment.
Sure, Brian.
Was this all by email or was it by voice?
It was email from Amazon.
Right, but when you contacted the company, was it by voice or email?
It was by voice.
Okay, so you called the company of the earbuds and Amazon responded to you by electronic means, am I correct?
Correct. The only thing I can tell you is exactly what Amazon said. I was so pissed off that I just X'd out of the email. I may still have it. But I contacted them by voice. It's Anchor. You know, they make headphones and earbuds. I contacted them by voice, and Amazon sent me an email the next day.
I know of Anchor very well. Did it say, when you first called, was there any part of the message or the introduction say this call might be recorded for quality purposes?
I don't remember, but I don't think so. I do not think it said anything about that.
Rich, did anyone else called 6 o'clock at night? Although, you know, it, God knows with Anchor. Anchor is one of those Asian companies. So their headquarters has a different time zone entirely and probably not a direct phone number, although there's all kinds of strange things that Asian companies do. But did you talk to anyone, or did you leave a message, or was it simply that you dialed the number?
I dialed the number, got a recording that it was after hours, and I just hung up.
Okay, that's very interesting. I mean, they can certainly pull your number. I assume you get your caller ID gets sent there. I don't know. I mean, I guess theoretically they could have a database that looks up the name of the person who dialed them to see what was purchased and then backtrack to Amazon. I mean, that's a real big brother type of way of handling it, I guess.
Question?
Sure.
What did Amazon end up doing for you?
You know, as the TechNet goes on, I'm going to see if it may have been a text message also, so it may not have been an email, but I'm going to look to see if it was either one of them, if I could find the actual text message. As I said, I was so pissed off. I felt so violated. I didn't even read what they sent, but it was about, you know, we understand you contacted Anchor. And I think I went blank after that. So I'll the text or the email.
But what did Anchor do for you? What did Amazon do for you because they're selling Anchor? Did they help you or did they not help you?
No, they didn't help me, and as I said, I don't even remember why Amazon contacted me. I know they say we understand. I don't even think they named Anchor by name. I think they said, we see that you bought a product from us and you contacted the vendor. And that's all I remember. That's why I'll try to find it and tell you what Amazon was offering with their text or email.
2SDP.
Yes, Chris?
Just in general, Rich, Amazon's policy is all warranty goes through them. And it's not their policy, it's the manufacturers that they sell for. So if you call the manufacturer direct, they'll just pass that number to Amazon. They can look up who you are, and they're calling back to do the warranty process. And generally, Amazon is just send it back. Doesn't matter how long or what the issue is. Just send it to do a return in your Amazon account. And they take everything back. No questions asked, and send you a new one if you want, or just give you a refund. I would just do that. But that's standard. That's not just an Amazon thing. Most manufacturers, the warranties, they deal with the dealer that you bought it from. In this case, it would be Amazon. So it's perfectly normal. I wouldn't be upset over that.
I don't know. I didn't ask for Amazon's help. I didn't ask for Amazon to get involved at all. And I just don't like them monitoring who I'm calling.
AC2GS. Well, it may simply be an arrangement.
The manufacturer looks up where you bought it. They see you bought it from Amazon, so they call Amazon to deal with your customer.
Anyway, I'll look up and try to find the email.
Just as an aside, that's not always the case. I bought a...
Roy, are you there? Anybody there?
Yes. Don't you hear me?
Comment.
Yes, what comment?
Sure that's not a scam.
I would tend to doubt that it's a scam because... Yeah, what kind of a scam would it be? It kind of originated out of Rich's phone call that he was given for warranty advice. So it sounds legit that, you know, as a third-party reseller, that Amazon in some cases offers some brands the ability of handling warranties through their mechanism. It would require a real kind of 1984 type of world that scammers would just kind of skim phone calls to warranty of manufacturers. So I don't think so. It's not in all cases does it work like that. I had a Chinese product that I think was $90, and the battery failed. And I contacted the manufacturer, and they said they'd be more than happy to replace the battery. All I had to do was ship it back to China, and it was going to cost me something like $80 to ship a $90 thing back to China. So I basically just threw it away. So unfortunately, it's not a universal thing, but I could certainly understand some companies that especially don't want to invest in distribution centers will make arrangements to handle it through Amazon as their primary redistribution network.
Absolutely, Roy, that's exactly, it's probably somewhere around 90-95% of Amazon's
manufacturers work that way. They want Amazon to deal with it, not them.
Yeah, and it probably there's a degree of non-Chinese Asian manufacturers versus Chinese, because I don't know. I tend to think that they would like to kind of play games with customers a little bit more. So I don't know. I don't know what percentages it is, but I, you know, I mean, unfortunately, this is our brave new world, and if the warranty phone number is tied to Amazon, Amazon is going to pick it up and run with it. I don't think in this particular case it's as much a privacy issue as it is a third party involved in the commerce of a product.
K2IST.
Yes.
How are you? The name is Lito. I'm up in Peekskill, New York. Down in Peekskill. I don't know where you guys are. Yeah, just make it not a stand, that's all. You know, just verify. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Okay, we're in the metropolitan area. I'm in Brooklyn. Most of the rest of the gentlemen are in Long Island.
Westchester, Peekskill, New York. Copy.
Yes, I understand. You mentioned that you weren't quite sure where we were coming. I'm in Brooklyn, and most of the other people are somewhere in Long Island. There's a few Queens people as well.
By the way, I found the email.
I'm Rockland.
I'm sorry. I'm just doing a generalization. You know, unfortunately, you know, if we sit down and actually talk about every person who didn't check in and did check in, it would probably take a wee bit longer than most people want to hear. Yeah, Rich, what did they email you? It's always good to read the emails. You know, I understand, you know, privacy issues are important, although they're kind of invisible these days. So what did they say?
It said, "Dear customer, recently you used contact the manufacturer resolution to obtain support on your purchased products. To help us serve you better, please take a few minutes to share your feedback on the support experience. Overall, did the manufacturer help solve your product issue? This service should take approximately 2 minutes. Your input will help us to improve and benefit more customers in the future."
Okay, so it sounds like they're not kind of taking over the warranty. They're just kind of double-checking that that everything was done the way it was supposed to be done. You know, they might help you out if you don't get anything from Anchor. I don't recall if I ever dealt directly with Anchor. I bought products, but you know, unfortunately, most of them, as far as I can recall, you know, usually it's power supplies and such, Woolworths for USB chargers and such. So I wish you good luck. If you can, come back and tell us if they helped you at all. But I guess you're going to have to deal with Anchor itself. They just want to kind of get an idea whether you were satisfied with the warranty or not for, you know, whatever reason they might have.
Comment?
Yes, Brian.
For the gentleman who's concerned about the Amazon situation, unfortunately, we are living in a time now where privacy is rare. Information floating around that should not be floating around is omnipresent. And it's very, very unfortunate, but I really would not lose sleep over it. We're not talking about financial data that was transferred to another company. We're just looking at a possible customer service request or complaint. So even though I understand your feeling, I would not go ahead and make yourself sick over this.
Yeah, well, let me see if I have it. Yeah, I'm not the type to care that much about privacy. I always say I have nothing to hide. So I'm not real heavy on security on my computer and things like that because, like I said, I have nothing to hide from anybody, and they can't get much from me anyway. But this was a little different. This was something that I took upon myself to privately contact a manufacturer about, and Amazon stepped in the middle of it. I did not contact Amazon. I contacted Anchor, and it just really struck me the wrong way. It still does.
Comment.
Yeah, Brian?
It could be that, believe it or not, it could be that AI was involved, that it parsed your information, and it said, hey, you know, this algorithm could handle it, and turned it over to Amazon. So I'd really just, in my opinion, I understand how you feel, but I would let it go. Back to Nuts.
Yeah, it's more of a customer satisfaction type of gimmick rather than anything else. So, number one, welcome to the 21st century, unfortunately, where privacy doesn't exist anymore. I'm sure you have the joy and privilege of passing by a website, looking at a few items that they have for sale, and then about 10 minutes later getting an email that said, you stopped by our site and you looked at it, but you didn't order it. Would you like to reconsider? So, again, privacy, you could use VPNs, you could use all kinds of firewalls, but unfortunately, make believe everything you do on computers is going to be posted in the neighborhood public library's bulletin board because it pretty much is. So, just words of wisdom.
Now, remember what their question was to me. Overall, did the manufacturer help solve your product issue? So it's not so much spying on me, it's spying on the manufacturer. That was part of my affront to this. It was asking me to comment on the manufacturer.
Okay, number one, did you click anything on Amazon to get their number?
I don't remember, but they say that recently you used contact the manufacturer resolution to obtain support on your purchased product. So I guess I did click somewhere it said contact the manufacturer.
Okay, so this really isn't a privacy issue. They have simply designed their website that when you ask how to contact the manufacturer, they send out. Yeah, I'm there. I don't think I've gone anywhere. Do you hear me again? Do you hear me, Rich?
This is the second time tonight this happened. Can anybody hear me? This is W2BZ.
We hear you, but
both of you.
Yeah. It's wherever Rich is. What is it? The three aisle, the 3 mile island place. What repeater are you sending your signals to?
Thank you.
Okay, he doesn't hear me. I don't think he hears the repeater that I'm or whatever connection All-Star connects to. So I don't know. You know, if someone out there can just kind of echo me to Rich and say that we hear him, but he probably doesn't hear a lot of us.
Oh, it's Middle Island. Middle Island is cutting in and out. I hear you on Selden.
Okay, this has happened before, unfortunately, and no doubt will happen again.
Now I hear you. Anyway, you know, they were checking. I don't know what they were doing. All I know is they did a communication to the manufacturer. There was a communication on whether the manufacturer satisfied my query.
Okay, but it makes a lot of sense. You went to the Amazon site. You clicked contact manufacturer. In addition to giving you the phone number to call, it entered your information into its database to email you a response to ask you if contacting the manufacturer solved your problem, and trying to get as much details so that they can figure out what third party is doing right by customers and which isn't. So it's not that they violated your privacy, because you went to Amazon and clicked the button, and that's how they got all your information, because you were logged on to Amazon when you clicked it. So it already had your name and your email address and all your information, and it was just a response to an inquiry on your part. So it's nothing to get overly anxious about. They didn't track you down. They don't have a connection to the anchor phone line. It's simply that you obtained the number through Amazon, so they knew who you were and what you were doing, and they wanted to know if you were successful. So that's it.
Yeah, but again, they were asking me to sort of spy or comment on Anchor, and I went straight to Anchor. I think I got the phone number from Amazon. I'm not sure if I did that either. Or maybe I did. Maybe I got the phone number from them. But they're sort of going around the back of Anchor and asking me to comment on Anchor, whether Anchor is a good vendor or not. That's the way, you know, it's no big thing. I just thought I'd bring it up. It smacks of AI to me, and that's why I brought it up at all.
Yeah, it doesn't smack of AI to me. It's just a couple of lines of PHP code that, you know, when a customer clicks on a request to find out how to contact a manufacturer, you know, send an email and a little answer page on the website that says, have you been successful? Would you use this again? Would you not use this again? Do you hate our guts? And stuff like that. So it's just marketing stuff. They have a unique arrangement with Anchor, and, you know, you kind of, if Anchor screws you, a lot of people would kind of think in terms of Amazon is not as effective as a retailer as it should be, because you bought the product through Amazon, even though it was manufactured somewhere else, and it never got fixed, the problem. So it's just a marketing thing that they want to know whether the third parties that they ship their products stand behind their products, because that could ruin Amazon's situation too. So I don't make much of this. This is a simple line of code in a website that's not AI, that simply says, if you click this button, give the guy this phone number, and then send him an email asking if that cleared up his problem. You know, that's just what marketing does.
two comments, please.
Sure.
This is Brian, KFQCC. I have dealt with Anchor in the past during business hours, and they resolved my issue with a product. Okay. That's number one. Number two, to the gentleman who mentioned that Amazon is in charge of the warranty, I have to totally disagree with that. Amazon is only responsible for any returns, okay, or exchanges within the first 30 days. After that, you're left up to the manufacturer. You can make a comment on Amazon's website. How was your experience? What did you think of the product? You could criticize, you could praise, you could do neither. But Amazon is out after 30 days. Now, getting back to Anchor very briefly, I would suggest call tomorrow morning, okay, like midday, whatever you like, and speak to a live representative, not through chat, but by through voice, and speak to them, explain your concern, and have them address it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to take it that far. Either Amazon was looking out for me, or Amazon was looking out for, or looking over Anchor's shoulder. In either case, I really don't care anymore. Now that I read the email they sent me, I really don't care. I didn't remember clicking on anything. I knew it was way past the 30 days. That's why I went to Anchor.
Footnote.
So neither here nor there. Let me switch to my next. This is a question. In the last snowstorm we had, my NFED half wave came down.
Good.
So, and to get that NFED half wave up in a tree, I had somebody climb the tree and attach it. I didn't want to ask them again, so I built my own antenna launcher, you know, that works on air pressure. And after I learned exactly how to use it, it worked great. I mean, it with 50 pounds PSI in a 2-foot tube of PVC, the thing shot up like 70 feet. It was pretty amazing. So I put up another NFED half wave, and I don't know if I'm as happy with the results, even though the apex of it is higher than my first NFED half wave. I don't know if I'm too happy with the results. My question is, just playing around, I have another 100 feet of wire, of black wire, and now that I know my launcher works, what would happen if I added another 100 feet and shot it over the tree a few times, and so I have sort of a huge, huge coil of 100 feet wire attached to the other 100 feet that I have up there now? Might it do anything beneficial? Or could it actually get in the way of the NFED half wave the way it is now?
Unless you're very, very, very lucky, most likely it'll be worse. Because, you know, by increasing the length of the radiator, you're going to, even if you're lucky enough to have it come out at the same feed point impedance, which the chances of that happening just randomly is negligible. But if you're very lucky, and if you cycled around the impedance a couple of times and you landed in the same place as you did originally. You still have to account for the nodes and the resonant points, because there's going to be points in a long length of radiator that have a high current and a high RF emission, and other points that will be nodes where there's very little RF emission. So the distribution of the radiation distribution of an over long bundled and folded over antenna is very complex. So I don't think it's a good idea.
I know it's very hit or miss. I just thought maybe naively it would be a more quote unquote powerful antenna, either on reception or transmit. And I guess it's really just an excuse to use my antenna launcher again, because the thing cost me $100 to build, even though they sell for like $300, $400, $500. It cost me $100 to build and to use it only once, you know. I guess that's what I'm fooling around with. But what I might do is, this is a random wire. It's not an NFED halfway because it's 100 feet. And I have a 9-to-1 UNUN on it. I guess if I wanted to put up another antenna into that tree and use my antenna launcher one more time, I would do a 66-foot NFED half-wave and then compare both antennas. Back to you, Roy.
Yes, that would be a much, much, much better choice. You know, you don't want to kind of just randomly bundle radiating wires, folding them over and such. The chances of randomly coming up with something that works good is pitifully small. But, you know, certainly if you want to set up, another NFED half wave, this time a non-random half wave, certainly that would make a lot of sense. But you can't just kind of get a bunch of wire that's kind of knotted together and just kind of throw it up on a tree and hope for the best and expect anything.
Well, it would make it a 200-foot random wire rather than a 100-foot random wire. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, if it's a relatively straight piece of wire, no. But the way that you described it is just a heap of wire that's kind of looped around itself because you can't extend it the entire 200-foot length. So now it's just a pile of wire that happens to be elevated above ground. But it's not stretched out so that it has any kind of reasonable radiation pattern.
It wouldn't be an extension, a straight extension off the 100-foot wire I have up there now. It would be, and by the 100-foot wire, by the way, goes up to the top of the tree, which is about 65 feet, I guess, and then comes straight down and attaches to the tree, and then the other end of it comes into the shack. So the bottom of it's only about 10 feet off the ground, but the top of it's about 65 feet off the ground. There was no other way for me to attach the antenna to the tree. Originally, when the guy shimmied up the tree, he tied it wherever he stopped. It was about 50 feet probably. He tied it to the tree, so there was no need to have wire coming down the tree. But this time I had to have wire coming down the tree. Well, anyway, what improved it a lot was putting a choke at the radio, not before the transformer, but at the radio. Took away a lot of noise. I was very happy to see that.
Okay, yeah. Okay. It might have been just picking up a lot of background radio waves that the choke removed.
Yeah, it really did. Took all that interference completely out. Very, very happy about that.
Okay, RF chokes are very, very useful, and like I've said before, there's a few cases where if you don't put the choke in the right place, you could ruin the design because the antenna utilizes common mode transmission current as a means of a counterpoise. So in those cases, being a little bit too generous with RF chokes can undermine the usability. But in most cases, there's really no such thing as using too many chokes.
That's why I didn't want to choke out the counterpoise function of the coax by putting it away from the radio. That's why I put it at the radio. So I still have the use of the coax as a counterpoise.
Okay, but, you know, sometimes there's an optimum length between the antenna feed and the shack that gives you the optimal value as a counterpoise. So it's not always at the shack that's the best place to choke it. It depends upon the antenna design and the length of the transmission line that you're using, where you should choke it.
Yeah, well, right now I'm in the mode, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I just did this right before I came on the TechNet. I'm very happy with the results, because I have one noisy antenna up there, or an antenna that collects a lot of noise, and now most of it's gone, so that's great. All right, Roy, thanks. Back to you, W2BC.
You're welcome,
question
Rich.
For Rich, WS2.
Sure, Paul.
The launcher that he made, and I'm very big on dipoles. I'm dipole happy, so I'm always relocating them or doing something different. Sometimes the ropes break and you got to do it again and so on. So I wonder if Rich could describe this launcher. Did he say PVC? I heard 55 pounds. I'm wondering where he's getting this 55 pounds PSI. Is it some kind of an air pump or... You know, you have water pressure. That's you know, that's your general pressure for water pressure. What kind of a launcher did he make?
By the way, if you, Paul, or anybody else wants to borrow it, it's just sitting here behind my door. What it is it's 3 feet of 1.5 inch PVC, and then 2 feet. Of 1.5 inch PVC, and in the middle is a sprinkler ball valve, you know, that has that lever that you turn on water and you turn it off. That attaches to both PVC tubes. And then on the 2-inch, on the 2-foot tube, I inserted a valve, a regular air pressure valve, and that's what I attached to the the air inflator, and I was experimenting. You know, I know Paul's an old pipe guy, and he may be thinking of, you know, the danger of filling up 2 feet of PVC, 1.5 inch PVC with air. You know, at what point is the thing going to shatter? Well, I wrapped around a pair of dungarees, a pair of jeans, around the 2-foot section of PVC before I did any of this. And nothing moved, nothing started moving. It was solid. I did have to get putty, this cement-type putty, because it was leaking